pray, oh God, that you would stand up in me, oh God. Hide me behind the cross, that I speak your word and your word alone. And open the hearts and minds of your children that they might receive what the Spirit would say to the church. We thank you, Lord, for all things that you blessed us with. We glorify you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you will, stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. I know this morning we had the deacons, they read from Matthew chapter 1, 23 through 25, but we're going to start in our text today at verse 18 through 25. And it reads as follows. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Look at your neighbor, grab him by the hand, and say, neighbor, I am standing at the crossroad of hope. You may be seated in the presence of God. There is a saying that says, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. I stand here this morning as a witness of that. Because for some of you sitting in here right now, you're looking at me saying, preacher, where you been? You haven't even been here at church in a while. 3 weeks ago, I had to take my wife to the emergency room. The next week, I had to go to the emergency room. Last week, we had to take our daughter to the emergency room. And one of the things that I told my family was when I started this new job was that nobody can get sick until December 1st. Because that's when the health insurance kicks in. And every one of us got sick before December 1st. So I had my plan put in place. But God said, just because you set something up, that doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. Now I got to pray to God and say, God, how you going to help me take care of these medical bills? But I trust that he will get it done. Amen. When we begin looking at our situations and our lives, many times we put plans into place thinking that what we put into place is going to come to pass. If everything that I thought was going to take place in my life today, I would probably not even be a preacher and I definitely wouldn't be an accountant. I would be a lawyer somewhere making 6-7 figures because that was the plan that I had when I was in high school. But God had a different plan for me. And many times what God does is when you're on the road, he sets up some detours. Because he says, when I set up the detour, it's to move you not in your purpose, but in my purpose. And so for those of you who are here right now, and you're looking at situations that have taken place in your life, When you look at things in your life that you think were failures, I've come to let you know that your failures are not failures, but they are setups that God has put in place because he says, I have something greater for you. And so the thing that we don't understand is that when we as Christians, when we get to that point, we have come to our crossroad. Now watch this, because we all know the shape of the cross. The shape of a cross is a horizontal line that is intersected by a vertical line. What we can say is that the horizontal line represents the plans that we have put into place. And the thing that God does is he says, but I have set up a vertical line that extends from heaven down to earth. And the cross point that you come to is that intersection where your plan meets God's plan. And God says, now we're getting ready to turn and create a detour. It doesn't matter what you have put into place, but when God says, I'm getting ready to turn the switch, it's time for you to say, God, whatever direction you have for me, that's the direction I'm getting ready to move in. If you don't believe me, that's what we have here in our text today. Let me introduce you to a young man named Joseph. Joseph is a successful carpenter. He is one that is well respected in his community, and he meets a young lady named Mary. He sees Mary and he falls in love and he says, this is a beautiful woman and I want to spend the rest of my life with her. He says that I'm going to take her, she's going to be my wife, and you've got to understand the process of marriage in the Hebrew tradition. In the Hebrew tradition, when a man sees a woman and he decides this is the woman for me, he goes to his father and says, I want to marry this woman. The father then sets everything up and he says, all right. The father says, now I'm going to pay a price so that my son can have his bride. Some of y'all will get that when you get home. For many in that family, the father has to give practically everything he owns just so his son can have his bride. And after he pays everything that he owns for his son to receive his bride, the son then takes the woman and espouses her or gets engaged to her. He then tells the woman, now I need you to wait because I'm going to go back to my father's house where I can build a mansion for you. Oh, I wish I had a Bible reader in here today. So he says that after I finish building the mansion, I will come back and receive you unto myself and I will take you to my father's house. He gets all of that set up, and for that particular year, most times the betrothal was for a year. And during that year, he was building on his father's house to prepare it for his bride. Watch this. This young man, Joseph, is now engaged to Mary. And he tells Mary, I'm going to build on my father's house and come back and get you for myself. And when he comes back to visit Mary, he notices she's got a baby bump. Mary, is there something you would like to tell me? Can you imagine that conversation? Mary, what is going on here? You are engaged to me. There's some explaining you need to do. What is going on here? And she says, I was in my bed asleep, and all of a sudden a light shone down from heaven. And when I opened my eyes, there was a man standing there. Now hold on, because I don't want you to get the wrong idea about the man. Because the man was wearing white clothing and he was shining all over. And he said that my name is Gabriel and I stand in the very presence of the living God. And I am a holy messenger to tell you that the Holy Ghost is going to overcome you. And when he does, you will be with child. And you will have a son that will be the savior of the world. She says, I know that sounds kind of crazy and it sounds kind of strange, but that's what happened. And I said, if this is what you want, Lord, then let it be unto me. And I was overshadowed with the presence of the living God, and here I am. But Mary, you got to understand something. I wasn't born yesterday. Are you trying to tell me that all of a sudden God placed a baby inside of your womb? Yes, and he said that this baby will be the anointed one, the Christos, the Messiah, and he's going to save his people from sin. Okay, Mary, I understand now. You got some problems that we need to deal with. And so for all of his best laid plans, God has now thrown a monkey wrench in place. And he makes up in his mind that I've got to put her away privately. Because the tradition is, if a woman gets pregnant during her espousal, she is to be taken outside the city and stoned to death. And Joseph said, I know that she has violated what God said, but I love her, and she might be a little touched in the head. So I cannot let this happen to this woman that I love. So I've got to come up with a plan so that she is not killed. So now, the first plan was, we're going to get married and have a beautiful family. The second plan, I'm going to put her away privately. But even when you try to come up with your best laid schemes, whatever plan you try to work on to get out of the mess you're in, God says, I still got another plan set up. And the plan you might have set up is not the plan that I have ordained. And so when Joseph gets ready to go to sleep, God says, I'm getting ready to institute some hope into your life. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. So he says, I'm going to bring hope into your life. And so when Joseph lays down to fall asleep, God sends a messenger to him to begin to reveal to him the plan. Watch this. Because for many of you in this place today, God is getting ready to change your plans. And in order for you to receive that, you've got to understand the concept of hope. The first thing you got to understand is that you've got to hear the voice of God. In other words, when God begins to speak to you, every other voice that speaks in your ear, you got to cut it out. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. You got to be to the point that you can hear the voice of God. Because every plan that you have set up, it must have the voice of God to validate it. Moses had a plan. He had a plan that he was going to take care of his father-in-law's sheep. He had messed up everything he had in Egypt. And so now he was going to take care of Jethro's sheep all of his days. But God had a plan that he was going to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And in order for that to take place, he needed to find a shepherd that had been displaced and lodged in the wilderness, taking care of somebody else's stuff. Moses heard the voice and the children were delivered. David had an assignment. He had one job. Take these cheese sandwiches to your brothers while they're getting ready to fight the battle against the Philistines. David got the cheese sandwiches and got the cheese sandwiches to his brothers. And when he got there, he heard the voice of a giant shouting and taunting the nation of Israel. And David looked up and said, who is this uncircumcised dog that dares to talk bad about my God? David had an assignment, but God had a plan. God said that although you've come to bring lunch for your brothers, the purpose of you being here is not for lunch. The purpose of you is to bring down a giant. Peter had a plan. He had fished all night long. He had a plan that when he got up in the morning, he didn't catch anything. He was going to go home, take himself a nap, and try again because his livelihood was fishing. He had to catch fish in order to live. And so here he is bringing his boat in because he had a plan that he was going to take a nap to get to it again. But God had a plan that he was no longer going to be a fisherman for fish, but he was going to fish for men. Paul had a plan. He said, I have an assignment in Damascus. And when I get to Damascus, anybody that preaches about this man named Jesus, I'm going to get them and take them back to Jerusalem because they are outlaws and they are criminals. But God said, I've got a plan. You've come to destroy the church, but I've come to build it up. You've come to be the vehicle to bring it down, but I'm going to use you as the vehicle to build up something in my name. So there was a crossroad for Paul on a Damascus road. There was a crossroad for Peter in his fishing boat. There was a crossroad for David standing before Goliath. And there was a crossroad for Moses standing at the burning bush. I declare in this place that somebody is at the crossroad in their life. And if you open up your ears, you can hear the voice of God saying, this is not the direction that you're going in. I'm getting ready to turn some things around. You've got to hear the voice of God. But then you've got to be obedient to the voice of God. Because when you hear the voice of God, and then God begins to speak to you, there requires a response. Oh, I wish I had a witness in this place. When God says it's time for you to move, the question becomes, what is your response to God? Because God wants to do something with your life. And if you don't take a step to God, how do you expect God to move on your behalf? Here you have Joseph lying in his bed, wondering how he was going to deal with this situation with Mary. And then God sends an angel to begin to speak to Joseph, and he tells Joseph that you are not to fear. Watch what he says to him, thou son of David. Because when he calls him that, he is now reaching into his messianic root that comes from David to remind him that the next king of Israel is going to come from the lineage of David. And so he says, thou son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because what she is carrying inside of her is a child of the Holy Ghost. And that child shall be the Savior of the world. And then he says, you shall call his name Jesus. Now watch this. The name Jesus in the Hebrew language is pronounced Yeshua. Yeshua is also another name for Yehoshua. Yehoshua is a contraction of Yeshua, but they both mean the same thing. God is my Savior. And they both come from one word that we use in the English language, and that word is Joshua. Joshua was the man that God commissioned to take the children of Israel out of the wilderness and lead them into the promised land. So when he says that you are going to name this child Yeshua, you are going to lead the people out of the wilderness of sin to bring them into the promised land of salvation. I've come to let you know that no matter what wilderness you are in, God says that today is the day of deliverance, and I'm getting ready to bring you out. The pathway you was walking in the wilderness was one that you found yourselves walking in circles. You were walking in places you had no business. You were walking in places of confusion. You were walking in places of desperation and depression. But God says today is the day where your wandering stops and you are getting ready to enter into the new season of your life. Is there anybody in this place that could give God some praise? The thing is, when you are walking in the wilderness, you walk in disobedience. But in order to cross into the promised land, the children of Israel had to trust God that he would open up the Jordan River before them. And they walked on dry land. They had to trust God that he would bring down the biggest city, Jericho, and they were able to claim what was inside. You have to trust God that no matter what you're going through, as long as you walk in obedience to his word, everything the enemy has set up is getting ready to come down in Jesus' name. So you have to hear the voice of God. You have to be obedient to the voice of God. But you have to accept the promises that come from the voice of God. For the angel says now to Joseph, this child that is getting ready to come forward, he will be the savior of the whole world. Every sin that is out there is going to be erased because of the child that is being born. And now here is Joseph. Not only does he have to be obedient to God, but he has to believe the promise of God, because promises are only activated by faith. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. When you begin to trust God and he says, I'm getting ready to activate the promise, you've got to be able to step out and say, if God said it, I believe it. It doesn't matter how crazy it looks, but because God has declared it, I'm going to keep on taking a step forward. And when God says you've reached the promise, I can raise my hands and say, thank you for every blessing that you've given me, for every door you've opened and every way you've made. Is there anybody in this place that can give God a praise for all of his promises? What promises are we talking about? He said, I've made you the head and not the tail. I've made you above and not beneath. I've made you a lender and not a borrower. Every weapon that's been formed, I am destroying it right now, because the weapon can be established, but it cannot bring you down. It cannot be successful. Every lie the enemy has spoken, I'm getting ready to contradict it with the word of truth. So every time the enemy says you are something, you can say, I'm not that. And when he says you're not something, you can say, I am that. I wish I had a witness in here and was not ashamed to stand on the promises of God. So we've got to hear the voice of God. And you've got to be obedient to the voice of God. And you got to accept the promises of God. But then you have to have an expectation that whatever God is doing is getting ready to come to pass. Because when you do that expectation, when you say that I believe that God said everything about me, then now when the enemy steps up, you can say to the enemy, get behind me, Satan, because I have an expectation of glory in the kingdom of God. Everything God said about me is getting ready to come to pass right now. Watch this. Joseph laying in his bed, he has now heard that his wife is pregnant by the Holy Ghost. He has now heard that she's going to give birth to a son. He has now heard what the name is supposed to be. He has now heard the purpose of this child. So when he wakes up, he finds Mary and he says, I ain't going nowhere. And you ain't going nowhere either. Because God has already told me what our future holds for us. So hold on to your hope, Mary, because everything is going to be all right. And so the Bible says he didn't even consummate the marriage because he knew that if he consummated the marriage before the child was born, somebody could say, no, that child came from you and not God. So he said, I'm not even going to consummate the marriage. I'm not going to add my own stuff into it. I'm just going to let God be God and let him do what he needs to do. So the Bible says that when she gave birth, he got the son and he purified him on the eighth day. And when they got up there into the temple, he could have said, we're going to name him Joseph after me. He could have said, we're going to name him after one of my family members. But no, we're going to name him Yeshua. We're going to call him Jesus because that's what the angel told me. That's what we're going to call him. And here he is now. And watch this, because God gave this to me. When a man and a woman got married in the Hebrew tradition, they would consummate the marriage at the wedding feast of the lamb, of the bride. And when they had the marriage and they consummated at the marriage, it was quiet when the man came out because he had to have a sheet underneath when they consummated the marriage. And when they came out, he would hold up the sheet to show that there was blood that had sealed the marriage covenant that showed that she was still a virgin. I can just imagine Joseph, after Jesus being born, consummating the marriage. And when he got up, he looked at the sheet and he said, there's blood on the sheet. That means that the child wasn't mine. That means that now we are covenanted in the presence of the living God. Is there anybody in this place that can say you've been covenanted by the blood? By the blood of our Savior. I want you to understand that there is a crossroad that you've got to come to. And that crossroad is your choice to make Jesus your own. Our Savior, born in a manger, walked on the earth 33 and a half years. Our Savior, born in a manger, and wrapped in swaddling clothes, accepted a crown of thorns on his head. Our baby born in a manger, and with the cries of goats and sheep and lambs that are all around him, cows that are all around him, now is prepared to go and hear the cries around him shouting, crucify him, crucify him. Our Savior that received gold, frankincense, and myrrh went to the cross with the royalty of our God on him, with the frankincense of the incense of his prayers before our God, with the myrrh of suffering on his body, ready to die on that cross. The Bible says he hung from the sixth to the ninth hour. He hung there on that cross with the purpose of dying for me and you. He hung there on that cross after they beat him all night long. Hung there on that cross with the blood streaming down his body. Hung there on that cross with you and me in mind. And he died on that cross. Didn't he die on the cross? And the Bible says they took him down, wrapped him up in 100 pounds of spices, placed him in a brand new tomb, and he stayed in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. But early, early, early on Sunday morning, something started to happen.
something started to shake. He was born in a cradle, in a manger, in wood, wrapped in swaddling clothes. But he came out of the tomb with all power in his hands. Is there somebody in this place that can give our God some praise, that can glorify our God? Because he made a way out of no way. Because he brought us from that cross point, from that point where we can make the choice to make Jesus our own. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here that could just give our God some praise. I dare you to stand on your feet and praise him. I dare you to stand on your feet, open up your mouth, and give our God some praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. What a mighty God we serve. Hear his voice. Obey his voice. Accept the promises of God. And walk in the expectation that he's going to do just what he said. That's your hope. That's your hope. And for somebody in this place right now, God says, I'm ready to release hope in your life. You came in this place today for church service. You might have came for the baby dedication. You might have came because somebody told you, oh, the children are getting ready to do a performance. You might have come because somebody invited you. But I declare today that this is the day of divine appointment. And this is the day that God wants to release something in you that you've never had before. That is salvation and the blessing of the living God. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to today. But right now, I want everyone in here, just close your eyes for just a moment. And think of this. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever lusted in your heart? If the answer to that is yes, then by your own admission, you are a lying, adulterous thief. And the Bible says that liars and adulterers and thieves will not even inherit the kingdom of heaven. But because we have a Savior who accepted your punishment on the cross, you don't have to stay in the state you're in. All you have to do right now is make a decision for him. A decision that won't change your life, but will change your eternity. The doors of the church are open. Will you come? Will you come today? Will you come today? Will you make a decision for him?